Well, Noswaitha, good evening. And two thanks to begin with. One, for inviting me to be with you in your midst, and my wife, Andrea, as well. It's a real honour, and I have to say that for the last few months, I've been very, very excited. Things changed a little bit, if I'm honest, last weekend when the programme of the weekend came out, and my blinking name was everywhere. And John, thank you. You had it right, isn't it? It's the Lord. We look to the Lord for blessing, and yet not I, but Christ in me. So thank you for the honour and the joy of being with you, really seriously. And the second thanks is this, because some people won't know this, and I want it known for the record, and I've said this before, that Macintosh shaped me. Some of you don't know me, but for the record, between 1960 and 1983, I was closely associated with Macintosh. Not in fellowship all those years. I was baptized probably in the mid-70s, but Macintosh has been very close to me. And I left in 1983 with a letter to go to Bishop Stortford Gospel Hall in Hertfordshire, where I taught for 3 years, and then came back to Wales in Swansea, where we've lived ever since. So it's another thank you. You have shaped me, which is another way of saying you take part of the blame as well. It's lovely to be with you. I'm not going to speak long tonight. I'll make up for that tomorrow. It's been long all day. I want to set the scene a little bit of what I'd like to do in the four sessions we have coming up. The story is told of the young American football player. He played in the college system in the States. It's very big. This chap was a very conscientious player, but never quite good enough to play for the first team. His college was a pretty top-notch college. His college team was top-notch. He wasn't quite of that standard. And although he'd go to every training session, he'd sometimes play for the reserves, he never made it into the first team. The coach loved him because he was the kind of player you'd want. He was always there, always willing, never quite good enough. One day the lad came to the coach with some sad news. He said, "Coach, I'm going to have to miss some training sessions. My dad has died." And the coach was disappointed and upset and said, "Of course, and to take the time you need." And so the lad took a few days, but was back in training and came up to the coach and said, "Coach," he said, "I've never asked this before," he said, "but we've got a game on Saturday, haven't we?" "Yes," said the coach. He said, "Put me in the first team." And the coach said, "Son, I love you. You know, though, I can't ask anybody to stand down to make way for you because, bless you, you're just not good enough." And the man looked at the coach and said, "Coach, put me in the team. If I'm not the best player after 10 minutes, just pull me off." Well, the coach relented and he put him in the team. And you know that he wasn't the best player after 10 minutes. He was the best player on the pitch after the whole game. No one had seen anyone play like it. The player he'd replaced said to the coach afterwards, "You did the right thing, putting him in." And the coach took the young man to one side. He said, "Tell me," he said, "was that for your dad?" "Kind of," he said. He said, "You see, my dad was blind, and he never saw me play. Today was the first time he saw me play. And I wanted to make him proud." Now, I'm not here talking about the theology, about whether people who've passed on see what's... That's not the point. The point is this. What we think influences what we do. What you believe about something influences actions. And if that's true about things generally, how much more is it true when we contemplate the Lord Jesus? What we think about him, and please, if you think you've got him taped, if you think you've got him sorted, then don't read the Gospels. Don't read the Scriptures. Because none of us have. I'm going to suggest none of us ever will. But those aspects of Jesus that we can understand and appreciate and think and believe will impact the way we live. Corrie Ten Boom told a story of when she was on a preaching tour in Germany. You remember Corrie survived a concentration camp. Her sister Betty died, but she survived. Years later, went back to Germany and was on a preaching tour and just preached a sermon on forgiveness, as it happened. And she says at the end of the service, she saw someone from the back, a man, come to walk to the front, obviously wanting to speak to her, and she recognized him. He was one of the guards from the concentration camp. And he knew what, and she knew what he was going to say. And he's a few yards off. And he said it. Corrie, I want you to forgive me. Now, Corrie ten Boom followed Jesus all her life. She believed him. She believes when he says, you love your enemies, you love your enemies. She believed you forgive those who hate you because that's what Jesus said. And yet she said, she froze as that man approached because she knew she just couldn't do it. I'm following Jesus. I believe him. I believe it's the right thing to do, she said, but I couldn't do it. And deep within her soul, just in that split second, she said, she prayed the prayer, Lord, help me. And she heard herself say to the man, my brother, I forgive you. And she felt her arms embrace him as she said, my brother, from the bottom of my heart, I forgive you. She said, by the way, that she'd never felt the nearness of God more than in that moment. She followed Jesus, she thought about him, she trusted him. It impacted her behavior. We're going to look over the next 2 days at four individuals who encountered Jesus. They all thought something about him, and as a consequence, there was an encounter. We're going to learn about them. As Ali was saying, we will learn about them, and we'll see ourselves in them too. But most of all, we'll learn of Jesus. And as you know, this isn't just for history's sake. These stories happened. They're interesting stories in themselves. But my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. If he's dealing with an individual this way then, I can count that he will be dealing with people that way today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we think of things, maybe afresh, I hope, with fresh glimpses of him, that will impact how we live, because what we think, what we believe, impacts on how we live and what we do. Amongst the four are two men and two women. It's nice how that worked out. Two are named, two are not named. One story is mentioned in just one gospel. One story is mentioned in two gospels. One story is mentioned in three gospels, and one story is mentioned in all four. That worked out. This almost sounds like I'm giving my first is in Rome, but my second is in Liverpool. Can you guess who these people are? No, it's no puzzle. It just worked out that way. There will be surprises, two miracles, and a lot of teaching. One incident doesn't involve Jesus at all, as it happens. All the characters who encountered Jesus were changed. All of them were changed as a consequence. And it dawned on me this last week as I looked at things again. I think in all four, Jesus himself was changed too. He was impacted by the people he met. Sometimes he was moved. Sometimes he was blessed by them. And that just got me thinking as I close. I just put this thought to you that sometimes we underplay it. We talk about, quite rightly, Christianity not being a religion. It's a faith, it's a relationship. Quite right. But sometimes we forget that relationships work two ways. And it's possible, as with these people, to move the heart of God. It's possible to impact on the one who is all-sufficient, who doesn't need anything, and yet somehow in the way things are set up, he allows himself to be impacted, affected by us. Even the singing of worship this evening. Why do we do that? To make us feel good? Well, maybe. But ultimately, we believe that what we're singing as we praise his name, we're pleasing his heart. We want to move him in the sense that we bless his name. Don't know if you've been to St. David's recently in Pembroke. We went on the family outing a couple of months back. Albie, our grandson, was two, and we looked at the cathedral. Beautiful. If you haven't been to St. David's, it's a lovely cathedral there. Not Brethren, but that's fine. the Welsh National Opera were rehearsing, so Albie was at the big drums, fantastic. But then it's the walk back to, I was going to say the town, but of course it's a city, isn't it? The walk back to the little town, it's a very steep walk. Albie, quite an independent little lad, he wants to walk himself. So every little step, and it takes a while, but we make it to a coffee shop. He's exhausted. We're all exhausted. We all crash out on the chairs. And I feel little Albie crawl up onto my lap. Other laps were available. I was going to say within 30 seconds he was fast asleep, but no, it was 10, if that. 10 seconds, fast asleep. His mum, my daughter-in-law Ruth, said, "There's Albie, safe in the arms of Bampi." And there's a sense in which it was a picture of our Christian security in our Lord, underneath the everlasting arms. He was in a good place. He was peaceful. He was fast. He was safe. He was in a good place. And so was I. My mother-in-law used to irritate me no end with telling me how wonderful it was to have grandchildren. And look, this isn't one of those stories. I just want to try to relate to you that sense. Joy is the only word of this little kid just crutching in. He was in a good place, so was I. And I had the thought, what if the God who encourages us to call him Father. Jeremiah, "I thought you would call me Father," he says. Jesus, who says, when you're praying, pray, "Father." I thought the God who encourages us to call him Father, what if he too is blessed when we decide, if you like, to crawl up onto his lap and cut in? What if we have a Savior who observes us when we choose to forgive our enemies? What if he is blessed by that? What if we have a Father in heaven who says, "See that child? One of mine." What if we have a Savior, our great high priest, who says, "See that action? That's a follower of mine." What if we bless the heart of God? That's what I'm saying. Far-fetched? Well, it was Jesus who told the story of the parable son. In that story, who was it who did the celebrating? Who was it who did the running? May it be this weekend, as we open scriptures, stories which might be very familiar, the breath of God himself will just so enlighten our eyes and our hearts that we see something of our Lord Jesus, something of our Father, that allows us to live lives that move his heart. If you like, make him proud because we are children of the King. Shall we pray? Father, it's fantastic we're together. Thank you for allowing it, arranging it. And we just do pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would be pleased to speak to every heart. It's lovely to see the age range here. Lord, from youngest to oldest, may there be a sense of your blessing being poured out that each of us might receive, that we might live lives that give honor and glory to our Lord Jesus. Help us love him more, who first loved us. Amen.